dear, I don't know what to do. The book of James has been a wonderful book. But before I dive into this this lesson today, and before we go reading God's Word, I have something for you guys to write down. I was working on a beautiful PowerPoint slide the other day, presentation, to go along with my sermon today, which is James chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. James chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. That's going to be the main scriptures. But here, I want you guys to write these ones down. Get ready. Proverbs 3:34. Proverbs 3:34. I'm calling out bingo. Here we go. Ephesians 4:27. Ephesians 4:27. 1 Peter 5:9. 1 Peter 5:9. 1 Peter 2:1. 1 Peter 2:1. And then Romans 1:20-23. Romans 1:20-23. Everybody get those? Do I need to repeat any of them? Are we good? All right. I'm going to go to the Lord again and ask him to be with this sermon today. Father God, I just thank you so much for the opportunity to open up your word and freedom. Lord God, right now I just ask that as we go through the James chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, Lord God, that somebody will hear something that they can apply to their life. Lord God, I pray as the speaker today, Lord God, that you would just quiet my heart, quiet my mind, and quiet my soul, and help me to be boldly proclaiming your word up here. Lord God, as a servant to you, as a shepherd to these people, God, I just I'd ask that you would just be with this sermon. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm gonna read our text today first, and then I'll go into the introduction. James 4, 4 through 7. James 4, 4 through 7. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is no purpose that the Scripture says, he yearns jealousy over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives more grace? Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The title of today's sermon is, Don't Be an Enemy of God. Don't be an enemy of God. If you all remember last week, Brother Fish was talking about James 4, 1 through 4, and how we have to be very careful about how we act towards one another. He gave us a few examples of how he created a division with his friend over a football game, if you guys remember that. Love Brother Michael. He's so awesome. I wanted to share this with you all as I was looking into James 4. So we were talking about quarreling, and we were talking about not getting into fights with people because we don't want to be causing division. You know, and the Bible says that, you know, if we're causing that, then, you know, are we in the world? And if we're in the world, then we're an enemy of God, right? So don't be an enemy of God. I wanted to share this article with you that I was when I was looking into James 4. And I thought it was full of really good meat here. James has addressed fights and quarrels. James 4:1, and the fact that they were caused by desires that wage war within us, causing us to fight and even murder, this he calls friendship with the world, and this friendship he considers adultery. We make ourselves enemies with God when we choose what is, and I can't pronounce this word, so apologize. Antithetical to God and his ways. James takes his language from God himself through the prophets and Christ himself. Hosea was told by God, go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her. For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord. Hosea 1:2. Mark tells us that Jesus said, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. That's Mark 8:38. As we study the rest of this passage, my prayer today is that we have a much better understanding of being heavenly minded and focused on the kingdom rather than the ways of this world. Here is a list of the following passages throughout today's lesson. And I already gave those to you guys, the PowerPoint slide. All right. So I want to try to really piggyback off of what Fish was saying last week because it was so good. He was like, if you have hate in your heart, you're murdering your brother or your sister. If you quarrel with them, you're causing division, which is not Christ-like. Christ does not want us to be quarreling with one another. You know, and people are watching, especially if we say we're Christians. If we profess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and we say, yes, I'm a Christian, guess what? A big target is on our back. And people are going to be watching how we talk about one another, how we act towards one another, how we handle our business with one another. People watch all that stuff, right? And if we're in the world, if we have worldly-like things, the Bible says we're an enemy of God. We're an enemy of God if we call ourselves Christ-like. If we call ourselves Christians and we act the opposite of what the Bible says, then we're an enemy of God. We don't want to throw pop cans at our friends over a football game. That's what Brother Fish said last week, right? He felt so bad about that. And we've all done things. We've all done things that we wish we could take back. No one is perfect. My first point is, don't be friends with this world, James 4:4. Look at John 15:12 through 17. Jesus came to deliver us from the very clutches of evil. He calls us friends if what? If we do what he commands. So when we're following Christ and we are walking by his side daily, we're a friend of God. We're a friend of God. If we're doing what he commands us to do. This is John 15:12 through 17. Write that one down. John 15:12 through 17. I want you guys to go back and look at these scriptures later. So James 4:4. I want to read, you adulterous people, do you not know that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Jesus came to die on the cross for the very, so that we could be not in the clutches of the devil, right? We don't want to be serving the devil. We want to be serving God, and Jesus came to die on the cross so that we can have that separation from evil. This is what Jesus did in his kindness of taking the penalty of sin by dying on the cross. Colossians 1:13 says this, he has delivered us from darkness. He has delivered us from darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. We have to live in this world, but we do not have to act like this world. See, folks, I don't know about you, but as I watch this world get more and more wicked, more and more hateful towards one another, more and more crime goes up, wars are going up. I mean, I was watching something the other day, and it said the war on Russia and Ukraine, right? We just, Americans just came out of a war in Afghanistan and Iraq, right? We had a war in the 90s. We had a war in the 60s. We had the war in the 50s. We had a war in the 40s. We had a war in the 1920s. We had a war in the Civil War. We had the Revolutionary War. Wars, 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 wars. Wicked, all vile, all worldly. And I tell my kids all the time, you guys have got to stop quarreling because you guys have never seen what can happen from that. People will kill each other. The Hatfield and McCoys, that's a real story. They got mad at each other and they shot each other up. Why? Because over something dumb? Because they were worldly. They were worldly. And Jesus came to deliver us from that very darkness. Jesus came to deliver us from that. But people want to turn off their ears, and they want to turn on their eyes, and they want to be able to follow what they want to follow. They want to follow what they want to follow. They want to believe what they want to believe. They don't want to believe the Holy Spirit. They don't want to believe the Bible. You know, well, how do you know the Bible's real? Right? There's that question again. That's a question from the evil one, by the way. I believe Satan throws that dart out there just because he wants to stir the pot. I talk to my kids all the time about quarreling and fighting. I had a sergeant one time when I was over in Iraq. He said, you know, I got a really good idea how to solve this war. He said, we can go home tomorrow. He said, all we got to do is sit down and drink tea with them and talk about the problems, and we can go home. Nobody wanted to be over there. Americans didn't want to be over there in an unwanted territory. I don't want to live where I'm not wanted. And believe me, folks, people are going to stop wanting Christians in this world. I can't wait to get to heaven, where Jesus and the glory of God is going to be so beautiful. But while we're here, while we're living in this world that's turning more and more unchristlike, while we're living in this world that is saying that we're wrong for believing in God's word, we have to band together. We have to stop quarreling with one another. We have to stop fighting with one another. And we have to start praying with one another. And we have to understand that Jesus came and delivered us from the darkness. We have to stop acting like this world. I heard somebody say one time just recently, and I was like, oh man, this is so good. Do people know by your actions that you are a Christian? You can say you're a Christian, but do they know that you live separate apart from this world? Or do you do what they do in the world? So if people can't tell that we're Christians, then we might want to rethink about how we're acting. We don't want to be an enemy of God. We are to be different. We are to love our neighbors as ourselves. But true love would tell somebody to get off the train tracks instead of letting them stay on the tracks and get hit by a train. You guys understand that? So we have to live in this world, but we do not have to act like this world. We are to be different. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. But true love would tell somebody to get off the railroad tracks instead of letting them get hit by a train. So if they're living in sin, we should tell them, hey, you're living in sin, and that's not a track you want to be on. Get off the track. There's a train coming, and it's going to hurt. That's what true love would do. That's true love. That's what Jesus wants us to do. Jesus wants us to go and love people, and he wants us to tell others about him. Right? All of Jesus for all the world. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. We want people to be able to face tomorrow too, right? How selfish of it is it of us, and we must be living in darkness if we're not telling others about Jesus? If we come here and sit week after week and learn and not do anything with it outside the community, then we got a problem. We got a problem. I wanted to hammer this home, or hammer this in, that Jesus came to save the whole world. 1 John 2:2 says this, He is the propitiation for our sins. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2:2. So he didn't just come to save the Aaron Hostetters of this world. He didn't just come to save the Gary Nicks of this world. He came to save every single last one of us. However, that doesn't mean that everybody gets to go to heaven. There are people who are going to reject God. There are going to be people who say, God's not real. There are going to be people who say, the Bible is false. They are creating other religions that promise peace and happiness. You know, the biggest problem with AA is not the fact that they're trying to help them get off of their addiction, but they can have a higher power of whatever they think it might be. So they could put a rock as their higher power. Brianna's Hope says, we want you to get off addiction, but we want to put your hope in Jesus. We want you to not be an enemy of God anymore. We want you to be a child of God. You see, we can't serve two masters. It is very impossible to serve two masters at the same time. Now, here's another Army one for you. I was in the Army, and I was over in Iraq, and I had two NCOs. One told me to do something, and another one told me to do something. I had no idea what to do. I said, because they're both the same rank, so how do I serve both of them at the same time? It's the same thing in the Christian realm. You cannot serve Satan and God at the same time. First of all, they're polar opposites. God is good. Satan is bad. You don't want to be confused. You want to be on the straight and narrow. That word propitiation for our sins. Simply put, he paid the penalty for us. You see, he gave his very life for us so that we could have eternal life with God. And yet people just don't get it. They say, I just don't believe. I just don't want to believe. Atheists have a lot of faith. They believe that there was a big bang and that it just happened. I don't know if you guys have ever looked at science of an eyeball or your body. My wife is all fascinated about that stuff. She's a medical, you know, guru. And she was telling me one day, she's like, you know how many electrical pulses your heart does to keep your whole body going? Or your eyeball, how many little details of your eye there are? Somebody had to create that. God created that. That didn't come from a frog. Those are the things, what I'm telling you about are the darkness of this world, right? So I want you guys to understand that. It's the darkness of the world that tells us lies like that. The Bible says that people will worship other idols, and they will flat out reject God. Reject God and worship other idols. God said in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And thou shalt not have any other gods before me, right? First two commandments. In the ways of this world, in the darkness of this world, people will have idols before God. People will idolize their sports cars. People will idolize their bank accounts. People will idolize their houses. People will idolize their children. People will idolize their physique. People will idolize their clothing. People will idolize their food. People will idolize magazines, the internet, TV, sports, jobs. Anything that comes before God and takes your attention away from God is darkness. We have to work, right, to make money, to pay bills. But that's not idolizing. Working is not idolizing. But there are people who will choose work over God. That's where you go wrong. That's the darkness. That's the darkness. First John 2:15 says this, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from this world. The world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Whoever does the will of God abides forever. So do not love the world or the things in the world. Right? Well, Pastor Aaron, I really like Ohio State football. It's okay to like Ohio State football. Well, Pastor Aaron, I really love my children. Good! You should love your children. You should love your children. We want you to love your children. And we want your children to be in heaven with us. But they should not take away from your worship with God. They should not come in between you and God, because you do not want to be an enemy of God, right? When I was looking at this and the title came to me, don't be an enemy of God, I really got to thinking about how are we enemies of God? How are we enemies of God? There's a lot there. I'm walking through scripture with you guys today. I'm telling you that Jesus paid the penalty for sin. I'm telling you the ways of darkness. What causes us to, you know, could you imagine, Brother John, being told to marry somebody who is a promiscuous woman, like Hosea? Promiscuous, meaning she was seeing a lot of dudes, right? That's what that promiscuous means. Hosea got told to marry her and have children with her. And the example that God wanted the Israelites to see is that that's how they were acting, like Hosea's wife. They were an enemy of God. Sometimes I think churches can be promiscuous. We could be like Hosea's wife. We could do all the things that say, yes, we glorify God. But we get caught up in all the rituals of church. Rituals of this church. Not here, but I know there are churches who do. We have a lot of love in this church. But we got to make sure we're not being like Hosea's wife. We do have to watch and check and make sure we're not just checking the boxes. We have to make sure that we're following the ways of God all the way through. We want people to come to know Christ. We want people to understand what the meaning of the cross really means. The meaning of the cross is a free gift of salvation. It's being saved from what? From this present darkness. From sin, shame, guilt. We sing about there's power in the blood, right? There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Jesus. He is the precious blood of the Lamb. He is the Lamb of God, right? I cannot stress that enough. He is the answer for us not being an enemy of God. Please understand, folks. I want you guys to understand this. You have to put your faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other way you're getting to heaven. You cannot buy your way into heaven. I don't care how many millions of dollars you have in your bank account. You will not be able to buy your way into heaven because God owns your money anyway. You cannot work your way into heaven because it's not a works thing. The Mormons will tell you you have to work hard for your salvation. Muslims will tell you you have to work for your salvation. But neither one of them tell you about Jesus. They tell you about works. Jesus is the only way. And he said, you can't work your way into heaven. All you have to do is believe in me and repent. Repent of your sins. I think people miss that part. They say, I believe in God, but then they really don't repent of their sins because they continue to do the same thing over and over and over. We have to, and that's where we come into play as a church. This is where discipleship comes into play, right? Me and Brother Stephen, we're working on our temper, right, Brother Stephen? Right? Because he said he accepted Christ, he got baptized, and now he's trying to work on the next part of his salvation, which is not working, but I'm trying to disciple him into the next phase of what God wants him to do. And believe me, Stephen is inviting people to church because he tells me, hey, I invited a friend to church. I hope they come. Because he doesn't want people to be in the darkness. He wants people to have the light. If Brother Stephen can invite people to church, we can certainly be inviting people to church. Good job, Stephen. I'm sorry your friend didn't show up today. I want you guys to understand this. You know, the world is passing away. God said he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. He's going to rapture us up out of this world one day. God made the heavens and the earth and called it good. There is beauty in the creation. Romans 1, 20 to 23. Romans 1, 20 to 23. Romans 1, 20 to 23 says this. For his invisible attributes, namely, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. Meaning, people can see in the creation that there is a God. So nobody is without excuse as to why they can't, you know, believe in God. That's what that is saying. In the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. For although, verse 21, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. The Egyptians did that, right? They created images of birds and cats and dogs and, you know, the great Sphinx and, you know, Pharaoh and images of man, right? Ways of the world. Enemy with God. My second point is a spirit dwelling in you. James 4:5 says this. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealousy over the Spirit that the Lord that he has made to dwell in us? So if you guys remember, when Jesus was ascending into heaven, after he came and he lived 33 years upon the earth, he died upon the cross, after he rose again on the third day, he walked around with his disciples for 40 more days, and he was telling them that he had to go away to prepare a house for us. He had to go away. But he was going to send who? The Holy Spirit to do what? Dwell in us, right? To dwell in us. So that you can be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, Well, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to what? The whole world. All of Jesus for all the world. I hope that song is starting to make sense to everybody. I play it a lot. And as we walk through Scripture, it should make sense. Like, oh, okay, Michelle Gruber, all of Jesus for all the world. She's going over to a very dangerous country, right? She can't even tell us because it's a closed access country, because something very serious could happen to her if they found out. She's not afraid of the darkness. She's in the light. She's got the Holy Spirit dwelling in her. God made the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. He came to be our helper, our guide, our intercessor, our comforter, and our boldness for Christ. If the Spirit is dwelling in us because we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we get a new life according to Ephesians 4. And the Spirit who is dwelling in us guides us away from speaking falsehood towards one another. We avoid falsehood towards one another. Again, I ask you, is the Spirit living in you? 1 Peter 2:1 says this, so put away all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and envy and slander. Stop slandering people. Stop talking ill about people. Don't cause gossip. All that's an enemy of God. The good news is that God gives grace upon grace, James 4:6. To those who humble themselves, that means we submit ourselves to the authority of God. We submit ourselves to the authority of God. Again, look at Nehemiah, right? Look at Nehemiah. He wasn't proud, but he humbled himself and prayed for months before he went and built the wall. Right? I'm trying to give you guys some nuggets to write down here. So some good things to think about, right? Because we don't want to be enemies of God. We want to be children of God, and we want to be able to walk in obedience. Walking in obedience and being filled with the Holy Spirit, He will guide us away from the evil talk. He'll guide us away from the slandering of other people. And because God gives us grace, then we should be able to extend grace to those around us. Right? There was a situation the other day, and I know about it. We had somebody use the fellowship hall, right? And I came in, and it did not smell very good. Did not smell very good. And I was very upset about it at first. But then I had to remember, they're still following the ways of darkness, probably. They're not Christians. So therefore, I had to extend them grace, because I want them to come to know Christ and get out of the ways of darkness. The Holy Spirit will guide you as you work with people around you. Of course it made me upset. They didn't do anything terrible. I'm sure it was not on purpose. But it still didn't smell very good for a little while. But it's okay. Because one day this building is going to burn up anyway. This building will not stand much longer. I say that because Jesus is coming back sometime. Nehemiah, right? We want to be like Nehemiah, humble ourselves and pray. He did the will of God and restored a nation. He restored a nation. We want to help people be restored to God. If we humble ourselves and we repent, we can experience that same restoration within ourselves. We can experience the same restoration that the Israelites got to feel when they went back into Jerusalem after the walls were rebuilt. And Nehemiah did everything he could to make sure that happened, right? And because he was being obedient, it was successful. Sometimes you have to ask yourself, if you're doing the works of ministry and it's not being successful, are you being obedient? Are you being obedient? Sometimes you could be doing the works of ministry, and it's not what you're supposed to be doing. And that can be an enemy thing between you and God, too. Disobedience. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, then I will heal their land. I see our country being arrogant, proud, worldly, full of sin and strife. Look at how divided we are over religion, politics, money. What is even more sad is that we have so many denominations because we are so divided over the interpretation of the Word of God, with which non-believers see and hear and therefore pushes them away. We have to stop quarreling among ourselves and join together in humbleness and pray and seek God. Do not give opportunity to the devil. Do not give opportunity to the devil. Ephesians 4:27 says this. And give no opportunity to the devil. Ephesians 4:27. And give no opportunity to the devil. So, well, Pastor Aaron, what does that look like? What do you mean, don't give an opportunity to the devil? Okay, well, you want to do something. You want to do something, you know, worthwhile. You want to go do something. My first suggestion is you stop and you pray like Nehemiah. You humble yourself. You go on the altar. You go in your prayer closet. You go in your car. You go out in the I wish there were mountains around here. You can go into the woods, right? And you pray. You humble yourself and you pray before God and you ask God, God, I would like to do this. Is this something that you want me to do? When I was praying about coming to this church, we started in October, by the way, so this is October. So a year ago, around this time frame, I started talking to Brother Tim. And we had, our very first conversation was 2 hours. And it wasn't even an interview. It was just a conversation that we had. It was like a get to know each other. Then he called me back. And then one day, I was out hiking with Sarah. And we went on a 5-mile hike. And I was on the phone with Tim about the entire time, when I was supposed to be with Sarah, talking about the church. Because Tim was praying about whether or not to look into me more, and I was praying whether we should accept this, you know, whether we should pursue this church or not. And I can rest assure you, I heard CMA Church will become your church, and you are to press on unity and the word community. And I've tried to do those three things. I mean, well, one of those three things is already done, right? Because I'm here, right? And I talked to Tim about it all the time. You know, I said, I don't know, you know, what you were thinking sometimes, you know, because joking with him. And he said, I was being obedient. I was being obedient by looking at you. Because he didn't want to give opportunity to the devil. I didn't want to give opportunity to the devil. But since I have been here, spiritual warfare, I've shared with you, has intensified, like, to the 1,000th degree. All right? I still have 3 beautiful children that I'm trying to get to follow Christ. I can't force them to have a relationship with Christ. I cannot force them to read the Word of God. I share Scripture with them like I share with you guys. I talk to them about Jesus. But ultimately, it is up to them whether they choose Christ or not. But I pray that I don't give any opportunity to the devil inside my house. I don't want to be an enemy of God because of my kids. Because we are told to raise our kids, right? Faithfully. We are to raise our kids. I'm trying to think of the, it's not coming. We're supposed to raise our kids godlike, right? Do the best you can. I mean, I know that I've talked to a number of people in here and their kids are not following Christ. And how heartbreaking that is. How heartbreaking that is. We want our kids to know Jesus. We want them to know that there is a dark world out there, and it's evil. And 21-year-olds, 22-year-olds, 23-year-olds, they're still naive. They don't know nothing. They haven't even begun to experience life yet. They haven't even begun to experience life yet at 21. Just a couple more scriptures with you guys. 1 Peter 5, 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9. Again, this is about how we come before God. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the whole world. We're not the only ones walking through this stuff, the ways of this world. We're not the only ones. I mean, I tell you guys all the time, and I'm very serious. I'm very, very serious about that. The people in Iraq and Iran, Afghanistan, China, Africa, a lot of those places are underground churches because the devil is rampant over there. Russia, same thing. It's communist, right? They will tell you what you can preach. They would tell me that I could not share the gospel with you in this message today. They would tell me that I couldn't use as many scriptures as I did. We have the freedom right now. But we be wary, be watchful, be mindful, because the devil wants to take us out. He wants to take us out. Do not give the devil any opportunity. So in conclusion, when we find ourselves being faced with the ways of this world, to be pulled away from God, the best thing we can do is stop and pray. We will have hard times in this life. We will be in battle against ourselves, but we do not want to be an enemy of God. We have to stay humble. We have to humble ourselves and submit to his authority and tell the devil to flee in Jesus' name. Maybe you are here today and you have never submitted to God. Never submitted to God. Maybe you have never been told how to, and you feel like a weight of the world is on you. I want to invite you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. I want you to understand that the Word of God is breathed out by him. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that it's breathed out by God. So when in Romans 3:23 it says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, God is telling people you can't earn your way into heaven. You can't buy your way into heaven. But I sent my son to be an atonement for you. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Again, the scriptures are breathed out by God. The only way to heaven is through Jesus. Would you be willing to submit to God today and enter into the family of God? And do not wait one more day. Please come into the family of God. It is a wonderful family. Sure, we have our quirks. We have our personalities that go into this family. But it's a beautiful family that God sent his son so we could be a family. 2 Timothy 3:16, God breathed the scripture, right, through men. So those other verses, I gave you just the highlights of those verses, John 3:16, Romans 3:23, because God was telling people that they fall short. But because they fall short, he sent his son to die on the cross. And if you guys, you know, have any more questions about that, if you don't understand how to submit, well, I'll try to help you figure it out the best I can. But the beautiful thing is I'm not the only one. We have Brother John. We have all kinds of people. Maybe you're a female. We have Sister Terry, Misty. We have all kinds of people here. Sister Claire. We have all kinds of people here that can teach you how to submit to God. We don't want anybody to walk out of these doors without an opportunity to come to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior today. We don't know how long we have on the earth. Our days are numbered. Jesus knows exactly how I'm going to die and when I'm going to die. And if I die, maybe he comes back before I die, you know. I don't know that day. But while I'm still here, while I wake up every single day, my mission is first my family, then the church, and then the world, to tell others about Jesus and the love that he has for all of us, all of Jesus for all the world. So go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, Lord God. Thank you so much for your word. God, we don't want to be enemies of you. We don't want to give the devil any opportunity. We want to be able to flee from the devil in Jesus' name. And we want to pray that if anybody has heard something today that they want to come and accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that you would just hone in on that. Let them come. Let them be obedient. The Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would just lead them forward. But again, God, it's up to you. It's all up to you. We just want to be obedient. Thank you so much for this sermon. Lord God, I pray that people weren't bored with it, but they actually got to have some nuggets of wisdom in there. There's a lot there. There was a lot of meat between 4 to 7 and James. God, thank you so much for that book. God, we ask right now that as we sing our last song, Lord, it's the doxology. As we sing that people would come forward and accept Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.